We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Ebon Udama. And one way I say thank you is by covering Connecticut political news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
Voters across Connecticut and on Long Island are casting their ballots today, some for the very first time. Nasara Luisi turned 18 last month and came to Tracy Magnet School in Norwalk with her family.
I just voted. It was fun because I finally got to vote because I always came with my dad to help him vote. So now I did on my own.
Luisi is one of an estimated 8 million young people who are aging into the electorate in 2024. Lisa voted in Southbury. She didn't want to share her last name. She says she's been nervous and anxious about the election, but hoping for the best.
I just want to see this world come together. I'm tired of the divisiveness. I'm tired of the angry rhetoric. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I'm ready for a change. If we can all get on board, we can get this country in the right direction. That's what I'm hoping for.
An AP poll last week found about 7 in 10 Americans are anxious or frustrated by this election. Polls are open in Connecticut until 8 o'clock tonight and 9 o'clock in New York. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Coming up, more on some of the key races to watch tonight. Dry, warm conditions continue to impact our region. Plus, a Connecticut Mirror poll finds immigration is a top concern for many Connecticut voters. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. New York and Connecticut voters will decide on contentious measures on their respective ballots today. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more.
Voters in Connecticut will decide whether to amend the state constitution to allow for no-excuse absentee voting. That would expand Connecticut voters' abilities to vote absentee without needing an excuse as to why they can't make it. If the vote passes, Connecticut's state government would still need to vote to pass a law that makes the change. Voters in New York will decide on the Equal Rights Amendment, also known as Prop 1. It would amend the state's constitution to prevent discrimination based on sex, gender identity, abortion history, and other classifications. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
Control of the U.S. House of Representatives could be decided by a handful of key races. That includes New York's 4th Congressional District on Long Island, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The race is another matchup between Republican incumbent Anthony D'Esposito and Democratic challenger Laura Gillen. Both have positioned themselves as moderates and paint the other as too extreme for the purplish district, where registered Democratic voters outnumber Republicans by about 75,000. At a debate hosted by News 12 last month, D'Esposito defended himself against patronage accusations and touted his first-term record.
I've been named the 11th most bipartisan member of Congress. I said that I was going to deliver for the communities, every community here in the 4th Congressional District, and I'm proud to say that I've already delivered $20 million in community projects with $30 million more on the way. This is about turning words into action.
He said he wouldn't support a federal abortion ban, but Gillen said voters can't trust him.
There are serious problems we have to fix. We have to secure our border. We have to get reproductive freedom protected. We have to lower costs for the families in this district. My opponent has been there for 2 years and he hasn't delivered. In Congress, I will.
Polls close at 9 o'clock tonight. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The only statewide office Connecticut voters will see on their ballot this year is the race for U.S. Senate. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more on the candidates.
Incumbent U.S. Senator Chris Murphy is seeking a third 6-year term in office. His Republican challenger is Matt Corey, a businessman from Manchester. It's a rematch from 2018. Murphy won that race with nearly 60% of the vote. Only one of Connecticut's 2 Senate seats are up for election. Senior Senator Richard Blumenthal was reelected in 2022. And no matter where in Connecticut you're registered to vote, Murphy and Corey will be on your ballot. U.S. senators represent the entire state, unlike representatives who have smaller districts. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
immigrants make up a growing share of Connecticut's labor force. How much will that play a role in the election? A conversation on that is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
We are in the final stretch of this historic election season. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are making their last big push before it all comes to a head tonight. I'm Scott Detrow. Join us for live special coverage of Election Night 2024 from NPR News. We will bring you the latest as the polls close and the vote totals roll in, with the context and analysis you need to stay informed.
Starting tonight at 7 o'clock on WSHU Public Radio.
Record high dry conditions on Long Island have raised concerns about brush fires in the Pine Barrens region. The lack of rain in September and October has raised the fire danger there to moderate and sometimes high. Judy Jacobson is with the Pine Barrens Commission, and she says the region needs rain.
Longer, continual rain, not a downpour, but it has to be kind of at a certain level over a number of hours to really soak into the soil and not run off.
She urges residents to further lower the fire risk by sweeping up dried leaves, watering their gardens, and not parking their cars on dry grass. Fire officials say the Hawthorne brush fire is about 50% contained as of Sunday after burning through 127 acres. Crews will remain vigilant with warm and windy conditions this week. They predict it could be a few months before Connecticut is no longer under brush fire threat. The New York State trooper shot on the Southern State Parkway last week has been suspended without pay. An investigation has been opened into his account of the shooting. Officers were seen entering his home in West Hempstead yesterday. Police have also canceled the alert out for the vehicle the trooper says was involved. Three people were rescued from a sinking boat off Charles Island in Milford yesterday. One of them remains in critical condition. Local fire officials say nearby oystermen had pulled them out of the water. An investigation is ongoing. According to census data, immigrants made up just under 20% of Connecticut's workforce by the end of 2023, up 2% from 2013. WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Erica Phillips, who's done in-depth reporting on this. It's part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Trump's call for mass deportation has drawn cheers on the campaign trail. And a recent Connecticut Mirror voter poll found immigration a concern for Connecticut voters. Is that what prompted you and your colleague to look into census data on immigrants?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I write normally about the economy, economic issues, and, you know, that's also one of the top concerns of voters. And I started to see it. The two issues are just really closely intertwined. Immigrants largely come to the United States to work. And work propels this economy. So I was curious what the role of a growing number of immigrants would be in the Connecticut economy, where right now we have a ton of open positions. We need people who are interested in working.
Now, what did you find? What jobs were immigrants taking? And how much of a participation in the workforce was the immigrant population?
The immigrant population is taking up a growing share of the Connecticut workforce. So not necessarily replacing local workers, but more just if you look at the overall labor force, the percentage that are immigrants has been growing. And especially in the last few years. Now, there's been a surge of immigration in the last few years. So that kind of makes sense. That aligns with what we're seeing. So as more immigrants come in, there are more immigrants in the labor force, and they're taking up a larger share. That's also because there's a huge wave of retirements happening among native-born workers. So if you look at, there's this chart in our story, side by side, the populations of folks who are sort of working age, 18 to 64, I believe, and then folks who are 65 and older. And the native-born population 65 and older is going up, 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 while the immigrant share of people aged 18 to 64 is going up, up, up. So there's kind of these two dynamics happening that, you know, you can kind of, if you extrapolate out from that data, that chart that you're looking at, it's pretty clear that the labor force had some growing kind of holes in it that new folks coming to this country are stepping into.
Now, immigrants actually not only contribute to the workforce, but also contribute to the economy by being consumers. What did you find as far as Connecticut is concerned? What did the census data show the linkage between the participation in the workforce and the consumption on the economic end?
Yeah, more people in the U.S. means more consumers, right? The United States economy is, I think it's somewhere around 70% consumer economy. That means most of the economic activity that's happening is because of stuff that we're buying and we're consuming. So you can sort of see how it would work that if you have more people consuming things, that drives growth in the economy. The economists generally see kind of a net benefit of more immigrants to the country along three lines. One is they participate in the labor force, so they add to the potential productivity of the economy. Two is they consume, so they add to the output of the economy by consuming it. And three, this is a little bit more complicated. In the work that immigrants do, they're paying taxes, like any employee has to pay taxes, but they're often not receiving as many government benefits as a native-born person, because they're not eligible for a lot of those. So if you think about sort of taxes in, benefits out, it's a different equation for someone who was not born here.
So bottom line is that they actually contribute in more than they're taking out of the economy.
That's sort of the general consensus of economists. Now, there's tons of situations where that's not the case. There are sectors of the economy where an immigrant and potentially an undocumented immigrant can offer their labor for less than the legal wage that this country requires and may therefore be taking work away from someone who would want to do that exact job or offer that exact service. And those situations can really hurt someone whose livelihood depends on that work being available to them. If someone comes in and charges less than what you're supposed to charge in this country, that can damage a person's livelihood. So there are certainly cases where the economic benefits are not clear.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you guys so much. It's always a pleasure.
Erica Phillips covers economic development for the Connecticut Mirror. I'm Ebon Udama.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And you can listen to WSHU this evening for live election coverage and give us a follow on Instagram. That's where we're going to be sharing local election results as soon as they're in. We have reporters in the field with candidates from some of our region's most talked about races. So give us a follow. We are at WSHU Public Radio. And by the time you are listening to this and the polls are still open, please consider making your voice heard. If you have any questions, you can check out our voter guide over at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll speak to you tomorrow.